So I, about 2 hours ago, saw a message on my messenger from my brother, who is a college professor of religion and has been for many years, tenured college, smart guy. He must have already been to church today. He's in a different time zone, because his message was this: to all my clergy friends who have not written their sermons yet for Trinity Sunday or preached them, here it is. He's a professor of ancient religions. Nobody has ever been able to explain the Trinity, and nobody ever will. Nevertheless, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That was his message to me this morning. And to all his clergy friends, I said, that's a shame, I've already written my sermon, but I'll give it a try next year. Nobody ever complained about a short sermon. But actually, that's kind of what I had written my sermon about anyway, so I think this fits. Because today is Trinity Sunday, and it is, in fact, the only Sunday out of 52 that is entirely devoted to a doctrine. The doctrine of the Trinity is something that is much discussed in seminary and in books with very tiny print in them. And if you find yourself awake at 3 o'clock in the morning worrying about how to describe the doctrine of the Trinity, please stop that. Stop it. A friend of mine who's a poet, an Episcopal poet who lives in Atlanta, wrote this tiny little poem about Trinity. He wrote, "We bumped into the Holy Spirit on Trinity Sunday. She asked us what the fuss was all about. We told her we were down with that Trinity deal so far as it goes. She laughed at us. We could tell she was moving like the wind. She said we didn't have to get it so far as it goes." This doctrine of the Trinity can feel like a never-ending tangle of concepts and test questions. It's a construction of early church leaders to address heresies and diverse opinions on the nature of God. Or it can feel like a lovely, gracious intertwining of God in all of God's fullness. The ancient way that Christians have used of describing God as Trinity. As the poem says, this Trinity deal can be fussy and frustrating, or we can go with the Holy Spirit as wind and be freed from having to get it. And instead of getting it, we can live into it. Live into the reality of God, whose nature is to be loving relationship. Not nature to be in loving relationship, but to be relationship. God is relationship. And we know from science that relationship is the nature of reality. From the subatomic level on up, nothing exists apart from anything else. There's no better connection between theology and science than this truth. Everything is imbued with the need for relationship between ourselves, between all the cells of all time, between us. Between us and every living thing, between the air that we must breathe for life and the way we treat the air, between the water that we must drink for life and the way we treat our water. We need relationship with our Creator. We crave it. We must have it. And the very nature of God is expressed through how we describe the Creator. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Mother, Child, Spirit, God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. These and so many more names are the ways that we have described God, but all of these descriptions depend upon a loving, mutual cooperating and equal choreography of this thing, this divine thing, this substance that we call the Trinity. It's how we name our relationship with God within our very limited human language. And perhaps because our language is so limited, and perhaps because we do know down deep in our being that to understand God, as my brother sent me that message this morning, is beyond our capacity. So maybe the best way to describe God's nature is through metaphor, art, nature. And that descriptive language by poets and parable writers and dancers and painters. It's a song with three parts, sung in perfect harmony. The never-ceasing dance of three dancers engaged in that complex weaving choreography. Sometimes the dance that is quick and light, sometimes slow and sorrowful. Sometimes wild and untamed, joyful and beautiful, but always graceful, always beautiful. This is God's Trinity with three dancers. It is unimaginable with just one dancer. Two don't even quite describe the fulsomeness of the never-ending dance of God. And then art. I've talked about this piece of art before, that incredible icon written in 1425 by Andrei Rublev, and it's still copied over and over today. The three figures, the three angels that came to Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre, a story we see in the 18th chapter of Genesis. But for time after time, this icon has been interpreted as a picture of the Trinity, as figures of hospitality, humility, peace, mutual love, but unity. And then in nature, of course, so many examples, but perhaps one of the most impressive examples is the pando, the largest and one of the oldest organisms in the world, which is found in central Utah, where hundreds of quaking aspen trees have been discovered to have sprung from one tree years, centuries, millennia ago. And now we know are interconnected just under the surface, all of these trees interconnected by one single vast root system that covers over 100 acres. There are moments that any one of us might experience, but find hard to articulate. A time of mystical mysterium. Time when we know, we feel that we are being embraced by God in the way that we know it feels like being embraced by the one who loves us most. Be that a parent or spouse, or child, the person in your life who embraces you with unconditional love. You know what that feels like. And that's the way God embraces us in the Trinity as well. God is almighty, but God is also vulnerable, sharing the truth through love without any separateness. No denominations are in God, no boundaries. It's an open and honest living relationship with no hierarchy. Maybe we can stop trying to understand the Holy Trinity as a concept or a doctrine, stop worrying about the test questions, and instead focus our energies, our 3 o'clock wake-up times, on how we can mirror that same mutual, loving, relationship-based nature of God in our own relationships, here, now, in our families, and with our coworkers, with our friends, and with our brother and sister congregants, how different things might be if we gave that a try. Perhaps we can think about how much God desires to wrap us in that same mutual love that God knows to be true and real within God, within us, and just be there. The mystical Trinity, the mystery of God's love, the miracle of grace, and the possibility of being something that we could never be on our own. This is the way that God works in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I'd much rather talk about that than any doctrine. But in the words of my brother, nobody has ever been able to fully describe the Trinity, and they will never be. Nevertheless, we turn to page 358 of the Book of Common Prayer as we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven.